here at the 2019 AXFI conference in beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota. And in the studio lounge with me is Mr. Joseph Breeden. Joseph, how are you?
Good. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. But you don't have your tea this time. I'm really bummed. It's kind of tradition. You always have a cup of tea with you.
I showed up a little bit late. They've already taken them out. I'll stop by later.
Next time. Yes, exactly. All right. Hey, and you are with Deep Future Analytics.
That's right.
Give us a quick plug on Deep Future Analytics. What do you guys do for folks?
We do analytics.
All right.
We do it really well. We've been doing analytics for a long time, and about 7 years ago, we decided that, well, we were really the innovators in vintage modeling, which is the craze right now because of CECL, because vintage models are a good way to do that. But we were the innovators in those 20 years ago. We used them in the last crisis and saw how well they worked, but then we saw what they were missing, which was the loan level answer. So the model would say, you're going to have a problem, but it wouldn't tell you who. So what we did was come up with a method that combines vintage modeling with account level behavioral data. So what we now have is an account level monthly cash flow model. Of course, that's great for CECL. But you can do a lot of other stuff.
Okay.
And so Deep Future Analytics is about really using that model and the software that goes with it for things like stress testing your new loan pricing. And really, I think this is the hot topic right now. If you load up the rate sheet, what's the market price on a 5-year auto loan? Are you going to break even if there's a recession in 2 years? There are a lot of people writing those loans today who don't know. And I think you ought to know.
Right? Indeed, and that's where you guys come in, right?
So you could use that, you can do it for low participations, you know, portfolio optimization, there's a lot of stuff.
And it's predictive type stuff, right?
That's right. Okay. So it's all based on economic scenarios and it incorporates the life of the loan and all these account level behaviors.
Gotcha. Very cool stuff indeed. Something that credit unions really need to look into for sure if they're not already. So, hey, let's talk about your session that's going to happen. Is it today or tomorrow?
This afternoon.
And deals with fintechs and machine learning. Can you give us a quick overview and then we'll dive into the weeds a little bit?
Right. So, we do a lot of work with fintechs. And when I was asked to be on this panel, first thing I said was, can you define that for me? Because there are a lot of fintechs out there that seem to be really just a finance company with a nice website.
True.
So rather than dwell on the fintech side of it, some of them are interesting. I don't want to dismiss that.
Yeah.
But it's hard to define. Easier to define is to talk about machine learning. And I have done some research lately, have published some articles, and I'll be giving some talks about when big data isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, machine learning and big data kind of go hand in hand, all these nice new methods.
Mm-hmm.
The punchline is, when you think about big data, most organizations are thinking about the dimension of having lots of accounts and lots of transactions. So that is one dimension of your data.
Okay.
The other dimension of your data, though, is time. How long have you been gathering that data? Because really, when you come back to the fintechs, we tend to think of fintechs and machine learning going hand in hand,
yeah,
right?
Certainly.
Almost none of those fintechs were around prior to the last recession. So all those nice, fancy machine learning models had been built on post-crisis data. Those models are great for finding patterns in the data that you've given them. But if they've never seen a recession, how are they going to predict through a recession?
Good point.
Now, it doesn't mean they're all going to fail. But we shouldn't have comfort that they're going to be good either. And so what we've done is, actually, we've got a paper on how do you combine the best of machine learning with the best of this other kind of modeling. We've done the vintage modeling that's kind of long, thin data. You don't need deep data for that. You don't need big data. You need long data.
Okay.
So there is a way to combine these, but really it's just recognizing that we're entering an era where a lot of these machine learning models could fail, and I guarantee some of them will fail spectacularly because they'll be trained so well on such a narrow slice of data.
Yeah, you're right. So what are a couple of takeaways that attendees in your session can take back to their credit union Monday morning and use?
Well, I have one slide that I'll be showing, which is, when do you really need machine learning? And it's that machine learning is the latest hot topic,
sure,
and it has great value in certain areas. Fraud is one that, you know, we've been using neural nets in fraud detection for decades now. This is not new. Voice recognition, anything that's voice activated, anything that's visual processing, these are bread and butter for machine learning.
Right.
But credit risk modeling, not so much, actually.
Yeah.
Because when you think about the inputs to most of your credit risk models, they're pretty easy to linearize. FICO scores are linear in log odds of default. They're kind of already linearized. A lot of the inputs to our credit risk models are fairly easy to linearize and not very intercorrelated. Now, there's some exceptions to that, and some of the work we've done is delinquency is really complicated to deal with in the models. But do you need to go full neural net to get there?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Okay. Okay.
And so it's knowing which domain you're in.
Okay.
How much do you need validist techniques?
And the goals of, I mean, what do you want folks to achieve? I mean, what do you want to achieve? What do you want to convey to the credit unions in there that are
going
to be like?
Well, we're actually doing a lot more with machine learning and AI in all of this. So in telling people when they could fail and when they don't need to use them, that's because we are using them. And so you need to know strengths and weaknesses.
Because this is still really new to a lot of folks out there. So I think a lot of folks are like, where do we start? What do we do? Do you have information like that? Where do they start?
Yeah.
How do they get going, and then how do they keep it going?
Well, ironically, at a personal level, I got my PhD in physics 25 years ago-ish. I haven't done the math. Don't want to do the math. But I was doing chaos theory and genetic algorithms. These are part of what we call machine learning now.
Okay.
I came into this industry from a machine learning background.
Gotcha.
It was not the fad at that time. With the banking industry, I had to do a lot more hardcore statistics, and most of my banking career has been hardcore statistics. So now we're getting the freedom. A lot of the reason we weren't doing machine learning was, one, lack of data. We didn't need it.
Right.
But two, the constraints put on us by validators and regulators. Now, there's so much pressure from the fintechs that they're starting to loosen that up, that there is an opportunity to be more creative. And I think before you ask about machine learning, ask about the data that would cause you to need it.
Right.
And so there are some interesting data sources people are looking at. And when you think about those data sources, are they complicated and nonlinear? If you're trying to process all of somebody's credit card transactions, that's not a linear problem. You're going to need something that can distill that data down to handle all the intercorrelations and to get to something that you can actually work with.
Right.
So that would be one domain. So think about where you need it.
Okay.
If you ask how you want to get started, it's not really getting started with machine learning, but what's the problem you want to solve, what's the data you want to process, and then do you need it?
Like most anything, what's your why, you know?
Yeah.
Why do you need this stuff? So very cool. All right, anything else to add to wrap up?
I think they're putting out the tea.
Oh,
so
go get it, Joe. All right, Joe. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Joseph Breeden, everybody. Deep Future Analytics. Go check them out. Well done, sir.